Okay, without any further ado, I mentioned to you that we have a special guest this morning, a special guest speaker, and this young woman is very dear to my heart, and I call her blessed, but she fills my home with blessing, and I am thrilled to share her with you, my beautiful wife, Tammy, and we've been married for 20 years in July this year. We'll be married, but today actually marks the 19th anniversary of our arriving in the United States, May 8th. In 1992, we arrived here with two suitcases, one-way tickets, and didn't know it, but a baby in the belly. And here we are 19 years later, and the Lord has kept us, and I'm thrilled to be able to say that the 19-year mission trip still continues. And this girl that I met in mission school years ago, who I was attracted to, quite desperately attracted to, actually. She was a powerful preacher back then and a beautiful singer. And this morning in the early service, she preached a wonderful message, and she sang in the middle of it as well. And I just felt like I'd been transported back 20 years ago. And I'm just as much in love with her now as I was back then. And she's a wonderful mother to her children and an upstanding member of our fellowship, and somebody that I think I want to honor this morning. And she has a word from the Lord for you, and I know you're going to be blessed. Would you please give your attention to Tammy?
Thank you. Wow. Yeah, I should just model for you now. Before I start, I'm going to ask, I'm looking around. I want all the young mothers in here today, and I know that a whole row of them here left, to go up to the nursery, and I really, 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 would somebody go and make sure all the young mothers are in here today? The Lord, thank you, Mark. The Lord has a word. He has given me a word for you specifically today, and so the funny thing is, in the first service, the Lord's given me this incredible word for these young moms. I mean, it's for a lot of people, but specifically, I looked around the audience in the first service today and realized that there's no young moms in here today. And so God took me through the most stressful 10 minutes of my entire life as Eric did the announcements, and they ended up the worship set, when I began to realize that, oh my goodness, the Lord is going to change my direction for the first service and make me preach something completely different to what I'd prepared. And thank the Lord I did that. You know what? Sometimes we want to take the easy way, right? I'm just going to preach what I say, what I prepared, and hopefully someone will get something. And rather than say, okay, God, I'm just surrendered to you. What do you want me to share? And so that's what happened in the first service. So I ended up preaching something completely different and sharing something else that was on my heart. And you know what? That is the wonderful thing about being full. You know, we call to be ready in and out of season and always be full. This chair bugs me. I'm going to move it. Always be full. And so thank God for his fullness inside of me. But we have to position ourselves for that, right? Right? We have to position ourselves. Anyway, so I will be sharing with you what the Lord put on my heart today and for today. And as I was praying about the message that he was putting in my heart, and a word specifically for mothers, the whole week I was just pondering over it and in my mind just looking at our church body and couldn't help but feeling for all the women who are in such diverse places. Okay, we all at different places. Some of us aren't mothers. Some of us have never been mothers. Some of us are grandmothers. Some of us, and we're all coming from different places. And then of course there's the men, and it's Mother's Day, and I'm preaching to women, and I said, God, I don't want to leave anybody out. Surely you have more. And I know that today is Mother's Day, but how can I be so specific? And isn't God wonderful? Because he has a specific word for us in different seasons, for different seasons. And God said to me, so I was crying out to him and just trying to bring a balance, you know, and sometimes we can balance ourselves right out of what God is actually saying. And so, but God said to me, because I have something to say and I want it heard. My word spoken in obedience is enough to reach all who hear. The word of God is rich. The word of God is rich, and you all, if we listen, will get what he's saying out of it. And so though this word may seem a little exclusive to some of you here today, pray for me as I walk in obedience, as I obey him, that I effectively communicate what's on his heart. Because that is the prayer that I have today. And then pray for those around you who need to hear it. Amen. And having said all that, as I will be speaking to mothers specifically and parents today, I do want to be sensitive to those here and maybe those listening online or maybe those who are going to hear the CD later on. I want to be sensitive to those who've yearned, and Eric prayed for you earlier, to those who've yearned and longed to have children, but up to now have never been able to. And I know we have a few women like that in our church. I sat down for a considerable time yesterday thinking about my unbalanced sermon. And I said, God, would you give me a word for those women who don't understand and they don't see clearly? And the Lord gave me a word for you, women who are barren. And his word was, sing, O barren. Sing, I will turn your mourning into dancing. And as I was sitting there listening, you know that we've got to actually be quiet to hear God. And I was sitting there and listening for a word from the Lord. And he was saying, tell them to sing. Tell them to worship me in their barrenness. And a song came to my mind that I had not heard for so long. And it was so clear and it was amazing. I could remember all the words of the chorus. And I couldn't remember who sang it, and it was baffling me. So I went online and I quickly looked up the title of the song, and it was Kathy Tricoli sang the song. I think maybe in the 90s. I'm not sure, but the Lord said, "Sing it over them." I have not heard the song or thought of the song in over a decade, and God just dropped it in my spirit yesterday, and this is His song over you today, and it's a prayer actually. So make it yours. My life is in your hands. My heart is in your keeping. I'm never without love, not when my future is with you. My life is in your hands. And though I may not see clearly, I will lift my voice and sing, 'cause your love does amazing things. Lord, I know my life is in your hands. If you're going through something today and you don't see clearly, and maybe some of you have a testimony and you're on the other side of that, your life is in his hands. Your future is in his hands. The Bible said he's seen your days. He knows your days from first to last, before a single one had passed. He knows the plans he has for you. Worship him, even in your barrenness. And maybe your barrenness is not children. Maybe your barrenness looks like something else today. Maybe your barrenness is purpose. Maybe your barrenness is a spouse. Sing, O barren. Your life is in his hands. Your heart is in his keeping. Amen. And now to you who are mothers or grandmothers or fathers, the Lord has given me a word for you. And we're going to turn to Proverbs 31. Now, the heart of Proverbs 31 actually begins in verse 10. So I got all excited. I really felt like God had said Proverbs 31. That's all I got from him. So, of course, it's great that he gives me a starting point so I know where to put my feet to begin to run. And so I went to Proverbs 31, verse 10. And I got into it, and I was getting so excited about this amazing godly woman that God, that did all these amazing things and was this amazing person. And I'm getting all excited about it, this woman of character and godliness. And as I was studying up on this and getting all excited and feeling pretty bad about myself because I just can't measure up to all of that stuff, God said to me, no, verse 1. I'm like, verse 1 is just the introduction. It's just the meat of it starts in verse 10. And so God didn't want to talk, like Eric said today, God didn't want to talk about verse 10. He wanted to talk about verse 1. And it wouldn't go away. So I said, okay, and I gave in, which is always a good thing to do to the voice of God. Just give in and let him speak. And so I said, God, verse 1, okay, I'll read it. I'll humor God. Yeah, right. Okay. And so, verse 1, I began to read it, and let me tell you, it blew me away. And I'm going to read it to you, and it's not going to blow you away the first time I read it. But I had to read it numerous times before I got it. Verse 1 says, these are the sayings of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. That's it. Okay, now let's just go on. And God said, no, read it again. So I went back to it, and I read the first one. These are the sayings of King Lemuel. Okay? Now, some of you are conceptual thinkers, and you get things the first time you read them. I struggle a little bit with conceptions, so I have to read things like 500. Have you ever read a book? You know, sometimes I read books and I have to read that page 10 times before it's like, okay, now I know what's going on. Okay, and sometimes it's like that when I read the words. So these are the sayings of King Lemuel. And I had an English teacher who used to say, ask questions in your sentences so you can understand the concept of what the sentence is trying to say. So I began to ask myself the question, these are the sayings of King Lemuel. What are the sayings of King Lemuel? And I realized, oh, from verse 10 on, where he says, and verse 10 on, if you've never read Proverbs 31, it's about this wife of noble character, this incredible woman, and how what we're supposed to look like as women. And I think men, you can fit yourself in there too, because it's really just all about character. And so King Lemuel was a man who wrote what a woman should look like. These are the sayings of King Lemuel. And I thought, what an amazing guy. He knew everything that a woman looks like. And then the second part said, an oracle that his mother taught him. Oh. He didn't get this stuff by himself. He had an incredible mother. This was all about his mother. Thank God for mothers, right? So as much as I thought he was an amazing guy, I want to tell you, I think even more, he had an amazing mother. For any man who can write such a thing with such wisdom must have got it from somewhere incredible. I believe he had a godly mother. I don't know. I didn't do any research on King Lemuel's mother. But man, I want my children to look like that guy, to have that kind of wisdom at the end of my days of parenting them. An oracle that his mother taught him. So my sermon today is Proverbs. The title of my sermon today for the CD is Proverbs 31, verse 1, because that's where God took me. I didn't even get to verse 10. Abraham Lincoln says, no man is poor who had a godly mother. Isn't that good? Abraham Lincoln. As mothers, we are called to effectively instill godly values within our children. I believe that's what King Lemuel's mother did. She effectively, if you read the rest of Proverbs 31, which we don't have time for today, because I have too much to say because I'm a woman, I always say that's why they had him write it and not her, because I think they have always men wrote the Bible, not women, because I think we have way too much to say and it wouldn't have fitted in this book, okay? It would have come in truckloads of manuscripts. They say we talk a lot. I always do have a lot of words. No man is poor who had a godly mother. I believe that this man was truly rich in wisdom because of his mother. And I want to honor mothers here today. It is Mother's Day, and guys, you're going to have your day too, but it's Mother's Day, and I want to honor mothers here today. Like Eric said, being a mother is a gift from God. And what a responsibility we have as parents and guardians of the next generation. We're not just raising good kids. We're not just managing children's behavior because they're two and they don't know any better. We are fulfilling God's destiny for the next generation. And we have to begin to take it seriously. And maybe you're not a mother. Maybe you're an aunt. Maybe you're an uncle. Maybe you're a teacher. This applies to all of the above. Billy Graham, our beloved Billy Graham, said, "Children will invariably talk, eat, walk, think, respond, and act like their parents." That's pretty scary. Think about it. Children will invariably talk, eat, walk, think, respond, and act like their parents. If your kid's doing something you shouldn't be doing, think about you. Okay? Sometimes now I will say something and I'm like, oh my gosh, I just sounded like my mother and I haven't even been around her for 20 years. What an impact we have. He goes on and he says, give them a target to shoot at. Give them a goal to work toward. Give them a pattern that they can see clearly. And you give them something that gold and silver cannot buy. We're not so much involved with raising people of purpose, which we are, as much as we're called to raise people of character. The character has to come first, otherwise the purpose is going to be skewered. Your life influences, whether you like it or not. Sometimes for the good and sometimes for the bad. It's all over the scriptures. Let your light so shine before man. My translation, let your life, your light so shine before your children, before the children, that they may see and fear and put their trust in God. I see two responsibilities in verse 1. And the one, as I've been talking about, is the responsibility of the parent. And we're going to continue to talk about that. But there's also the responsibility. And so this is where my message becomes a little more inclusive. There's also the responsibility of the children to the parents. I'm not going to linger here, but I do want to read to you Proverbs 10, verse 1. Teenagers, look at me. Look at me in the eye. Jesse, listen what it says. If you've never read the book of Proverbs, read it. It'll change your life if you can get a hold of the heart of it. It says, a wise child brings joy to a father, and a foolish child brings grief to his mother. Proverbs 1, verse 8 and 9 says, listen, my child, to what your father teaches you. How tired you must get of hearing your parents say, listen. Listen to me. The Bible's telling it to you as well. Listen to your parents. Listen, my child, to what your father teaches you. Don't neglect your mother's teaching. Obey. Another scripture says, obey your parents, for this is good. It will go well with you if you live in obedience. Read the book of Proverbs. Goes on to say, what you learn from them will crown you with grace and clothe you with honor. Be obedient to the word, young ones. But the number one responsibility lies with the parent. And even God took the initiative. You know what? Even God took the initiative. Parents, we have to initiate righteousness within our homes. Proverbs 11, verse 30, and I'll tell you why. I'm telling you now that we are dealing with a matter of life and death. Obedience to God's word will result in life or death. If we do not obey it. Death if we do not obey it. Proverbs 11, verse 30 says, the godly are like trees that bear life-giving fruit, and those who save lives are wise. We are called to save lives. This is your number one mission field. If you have a child, you're in the mission field. You're called to save lives as a parent. And if you don't believe me, let's read Proverbs 23. Guess what, parents? It's not only the teenagers. You need to also read Proverbs. Proverbs 23, verse 13 and 14. And you don't have to turn there. It says in verse 13, do not hold back discipline from your child. And then verse 14, it goes on and it says, you will save his soul from hell. Another translation says, if you do not discipline your child, you prepare their souls for hell. Yikes. What are you preparing your child's soul for? We have the power of life and death in the palm of our hands. We cannot take this lightly. Discipline, what does that mean? It comes from the word disciple. One who guides, one who guards, one who will give his life to save another. Remind you of someone? Sounds like Jesus to me. We have an example to live by. It's time we looked our children in the eye and said, at all costs, I will save your life. I often speak to parents of teenagers, and one of the biggest fears a parent of teenagers has is that their child will not like them. Believe it or not. I think it's a lie of the enemy to deceive us and to steal the truth from what God has planned and the purpose that God has planned for you and for your child. At all costs, I will save your life, whether you like me or not. A few years ago, some of you remember that Eric and I had little Samantha in our home. And what a joy she was. She turned our world upside down. Samantha didn't always like me because we set these wonderful, wonderful things in her life called boundaries. And I'll never forget the day that, and I've shared this story, I'll never forget the day that we're taken on vacation and we'd gone to upstate New York in the mountains, and we were with some friends at this park and it was beautiful. There was acres and acres of rolling green manicured lawn. On one side of the lawn was this lake with the mountains. Picture this. The other side of this beautiful manicured lawn was a fence with a very busy road. I thought, this is perfect. Samantha was the Energizer Bunny on Energizer batteries times a million. I thought, this is great. You know what? Samantha's going to just run. There's nothing she can get into here, but just run and get rid of all that energy. And so we set her loose in this field. Do you know that we couldn't keep that little girl out of the lake or out of the road? You have this amazing place to run in. You have more than enough space. But you want to push your boundaries and fall into the road or into the river. Parents, boundaries are good. Boundaries keep our children safe. They need them. Samantha didn't want me to drag her out of the road. She wanted to be in the water. She didn't like me. She kicked and screamed and spat and bit. Because I wanted her to play where it was safe. Parents of teenagers, they're not going to like you. It doesn't matter. Put a longer skirt on. Cover up, girl. At all costs, I will be obedient to what God's word says and follow the boundaries that he has put. The word says the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. He's given us he's given your children through his word a huge, comfortable place to play in. The boundary lines have fallen for you in pleasant places. Surely you have a delightful inheritance if you will walk within your boundaries. If you will teach your children to live within those boundaries, they will be safe. I will fight for your eternity. I will fight for your eternity. We have to take this seriously. We have to obey God's word. Our children will learn most of their values through your example. How do you live in front of them? What kind of language do you use? If they start using those words back at you, check yourself. Your life will make the word of God real to them or not. What you live in front of them will say, I believe in God. I believe his ways are higher than mine. And we teach our children to trust in God. We teach them faith through us living through those very same things. We teach them to resist temptation when we resist temptation. We teach them to run to God when they see a mother and a father who pray, and run to God when things get tough. Mothers of you little ones, I have news for you. They get more than you think. They ain't stupid. Don't be fooled. They're watching you and they're listening. They have eternity in their hearts. God gave them a heart. God gave them a spot in their heart that knows so much more than we could ever realize. They're watching you. They're learning from you. I know that sometimes, especially when your children are little, that you're just so tired and exhausted. And you know what? There's a few young moms here today. And you're just tired and exhausted. And there's a few of you young moms here today that are single moms. And you're even more tired and exhausted. I remember well my children being young. And as I was writing these things down to share with you today, I was remembering that season of my life that I was just wanted to sleep through a night, would just be the best gift anybody could give me. And I began to pray for you young moms, and the Lord showed me something. I saw a picture in front of me, and I saw God coming to you mothers, especially you moms of little ones. And I saw him lift up your chin and look in your eyes with incredible tenderness and say, "You can do this. Charlene, you can do it. Ashley, you can do it. Pam, you can do it. There's many of you here today. You can do it. Amanda, you can do it. I am your strong arm because my strength is made perfect in your weakness." There are some grandmothers here today who are raising their grandchildren. Julie, you can do it. I know you did it already. You can do it again. You got through it the first time. Be encouraged. His strength is made perfect in your weakness. I need you to know that he has called you for such a time as this. He has placed these children in your arms, whether you expected it or not. Please do not despise this season of your lives. Guard your hearts from the lies of the enemy. Whether you have babies or teenagers or somewhere in the middle, guard your hearts and stay the course. These sleepless nights and exhausting days when they're babies will reoccur when they begin driving. Ask me. Where is he? It's 10 o'clock. And the horrible, morbid pictures that go through my mind. Trust me, you would rather have them in their cribs. The enemy wants to steal the joy of parenting. The Bible says that children are a gift from the Lord. He also says that every good and perfect gift comes from God. In other words, God doesn't give a gift that isn't good and perfect. And the enemy wants nothing less than to steal the joy of parenting from us. And we waste so much time. We waste so many days that we will never get back. When I found out I was pregnant with Luke, I felt, and I'm going to say this in front of you, Luke, but it gets better, okay? I felt that God had totally messed up all my plans. Eric and I had just immigrated to the United States. We were so young. We had, the world was at our feet, and we had so many plans, and God really didn't care about them. He did not care about my five-year plan. Lord, 27, not 22. And God said, no, 22 will do. So he messed up all our plans and dreams, and we were shocked and horrified because God's also not intimidated by a little pill. I'm not going any further than that. Nothing helped. Luke was in my belly, and we had been in America for 2 weeks when I found out. I might not have come had I known 2 weeks prior. Isn't that amazing? He's like, huh, he tricked me. He loves to trick me into these things. My dreams and plans could never have measured up to the overwhelming gift that God gave me and Eric and our son Luke. I could never. I think back now of all the things I dreamed that I would do before I had kids, and none of that even pales in comparison to the beautiful children that God has given me, and the life, the good, the bad, the ugly, the tough times, the sleepless nights. None of it could measure up to the joy and the pleasure of having these children in our lives. See, I told you it would get better. God knew every day of my life before anyone had happened. And even though I was so surprised, he wasn't. He planned it. I found myself fighting that season of my life rather than embracing it. Ashley, embrace it and walk in obedience. You will reap the benefit. It's his promise. Raise up your children in the way they should go, and they will return. They will return. Maybe it doesn't look like it right now, but they will. Surrender your dreams and ambitions and take a hold of God's little bride, your children, and prepare them for their groom. As you seek him, he will give you all the strength and wisdom you need. And that is a promise from God. God is totally committed to your calling as a parent. Totally committed. If he didn't think you could do it, Courtney, he wouldn't have given him to you. He gave those little boys to you because he knew you could do it. He's totally committed to your calling, and he knows what it's like to be the parent of every kind of child. I've had parents say to me, but you don't know my kid. You don't know. He can identify. Maybe I can't, but you know what? God can identify with every kind of child. He had all of us, didn't he? And we look pretty different from one another. You're not alone. Single moms, you're not alone. You're not alone. The most incredible single mom, this is a testimony to the grace of God, the most incredible single mom I ever met and I've ever known is a woman in South Africa who raised two of the most incredible young men I've also ever met. She successfully and effectively, through her obedience to God and His Word, prepared their, not only their souls for eternity, but their lives for God's glory. And I know this firsthand because I'm married to one of those boys. Your pastor was raised by a single mom, Ashley. Leslie could be the pastor of this church in generations to come. Raise him well. Your sins are forgiven you. Do the right thing with what's in your hands to do now. You have today. I'm very thankful to Eric's mom. She's not only been a mother to me, but an incredible friend, an example of a godly mother. Oh, that my children would rise up and call me blessed. If you read the rest of Proverbs 31, the end, it says, and her children call her blessed. I call Anne van Stelten blessed. She's a blessed woman. She blesses my life. She has blessed my life with more than I could ever have hoped or dreamed because of her obedience to God. And when you look at your past and you watch his life, thank God for his mother who was obedient. And I'm sure her boys didn't always like her. But she was a pit bull of a mom. She wasn't going to let their souls go anywhere else but to God. She wasn't going to prepare their souls for anything else but for the Lord. And everything changed. Everything changed for me when I began to realize God's heart for my children. And when I started to see them, not just as my kids. Well, these are my kids. I didn't even plan them. I haven't slept for 5 weeks. These are just my kids. I began to see them as my little brother and sister in Christ. His bride. We are just their guardians, moms. We are their guardians, preparing them for their king. I'll never forget the day I had homeschooled my children through elementary school, and I was pretty exhausted and started to complain, or rather whine a little bit to God about it. And I'll never forget God saying to me, they're not your kids. They're my bride. And so are you going to continue complaining, or are you going to give them best that you can give them? It changed my perspective. Perspective is sometimes key. Well, it's always the way we see things, right? It's key that we change our perspective. And maybe some of us need a perspective change on our children or our grandchildren. Or our students, you teachers. But as my perspective changed, so did my attitude. And with that came a devotion and a seriousness to be obedient to God in how I dealt with these children. You see, we're not called to manage their behavior. We're called to shepherd their hearts. Parenting one-on-one. We're not trying to raise good, upright citizens. We're trying to raise the bride of Christ, who may be the next generation that will see the coming of Christ, that will usher in the coming of the King. When their hearts are shepherded and nurtured, their lives will be significantly different to what you see around you and to what your culture throws at them. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth shall speak. I'll say, out of the abundance of the heart, we live our lives. We prepare their souls by preparing their hearts, by investing in their hearts' truth. And we do that through example. Obedience is key, my friends. I can't stress it enough. Obedience to what God's word says is key. And I know I sound like I'm just repeating myself, but I have to get this message across. Obedience is key. God's word gives us clear guidelines, clear boundaries. And if we don't follow them, we will not reap the benefit. If you do not put the right ingredients in a cake, you're not going to get what the cake looks like in the beautiful picture in the magazine or the recipe book. Seldom looks like that when I make it, but don't tweak the recipe. God didn't say, for parents with this kind of child, you do this. For parents with that kind of child, you know what? You can do that. That'll be okay. No, there's one way. There's one way of parenting our children, to prepare their souls for heaven, to prepare their souls and their lives for godliness and for the kingdom. We can't tweak the recipe. That's just another word for that would be disobedience. You're going to get what you put into it. It's not easy. Consistency isn't easy. And there's so many voices that are yelling at us and that are crying out to us, this is the way, that is the way. There is one voice we need to be listening to, my friends. The word is rich. The word is full. It will tell you how to raise your children. And if you want, I'll do a class for you and we'll go through the scriptures and I will teach you what I'm still trying to get right. But by God's grace, I'm growing. I'm not preaching this because I've got it all together. Please, just put that little disclaimer in there. The Bible says, if you sow to the wind, you will reap a whirlwind. Anybody's kids feel like a whirlwind? Sometimes? Stop sowing to the wind. Sow to the Spirit. In that, obey God. And you know what? It is costly. It's going to cost you your time. It might cost you your career. It's certainly going to cost you energy. It might cost you your reputation. I'm doing it God's way. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that doesn't look good to you, but I'm doing it God's way. It'll certainly cost you time in prayer if you're serious about it. Shirley Dobson, Dr. James Dobson's wife from Focus on the Family, ever since her children, I'm not sure if it was ever since they were born, but I know definitely ever since they were very little, fasted and prayed a day a week and still does to this day. They've grown with their own children now. Fasts and prays a day a week for her children. She's a busy woman. She worked at all costs. That is her day of the week that is devoted to fasting and praying for her children. There is nothing more powerful than praying moms. Dads too. And it's not too late. I have a friend in Florida, a dear pastor's wife friend, who for many years, her daughter, took on a, after being raised as a wonderful, in a wonderful Christian home, took on a lifestyle of homosexuality to her parents' absolute shock and horror. Today, that young girl is back with God, one of the most amazing worship leaders you will ever hear. Serves God with all of her heart, soul, and mind because she had a mother who would not get off her knees. I think her dad prayed too. But her mommy prayed for her. And sometimes her mommy didn't even know how to pray. But she would not give up. Nothing precious comes without a cost, my friends. Our children are precious. We need to keep them that way. I figured if parenting is going to cost me so much, I'm going to get the most out of it. I want to end today by saying that God is a God of redemption and hope. And I know there's many of you here today whose children are grown. And maybe you think it's too late. Well, I wasn't even a Christian when my kids were little. And now what? The word of the Lord for you today is pray, 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 and do not give up. You make war in the Spirit. God has promised that He loves to hear us when we cry out to Him. He is faithful and will heal your broken places. And the broken places that maybe you broke, He will heal them. He's a God of forgiveness. He will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. Trust Him with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. God is not only the God of today. So if you have parents today, He is God. Live for Him and obey Him. He's also the God of yesterday. If your children are grown, pray for them. Contend for them in the Spirit. And remember that your life is in His hands. Your children's lives are in His hands. Their hearts are in His keeping. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. It is so rich and so complete. You haven't left anything out. You've given us everything that pertains to life and to godliness. And like we sang earlier, I need you, Lord, I need you. We need you, Jesus. We need you to get this right. We need you to help us raise our children. We need you, Lord Jesus, to help us prepare your bride. Thank you. Thank you for keeping our hearts. Thank you for redeeming our past. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that it's not by might or by power. But if we would yield and surrender to your Spirit, we can do all things. because you live and move and have your being inside of us, and you strengthen us. My life is in your hands. I'm never without hope when my future is with you. And Lord, today I want to pray for all the mothers. And I know that we prayed for them already today, but I want to pray for the mothers whose children are not serving you. Father, I pray that you would infuse them with fresh zeal and encourage them that as long as there is life, there is hope. That they will pray without ceasing, and that they would not give up. I want to pray today, Lord Jesus, for the single moms in our church. Thank you that you are the God of forgiveness and redemption. Fill them, Lord Jesus. Draw them, that they would position themselves, oh God, to receive an infusion and an infilling of your power and your strength. That they would look at their children differently, oh God. I want to pray for the moms of little ones who are just so tired, Lord Jesus. I pray, Father, that you would supernaturally fill them with your rest and your peace. Lord, I want to pray for those parents of teenagers, and I pray, Father, that they will see this age as an age of opportunity and not disconnect because they don't understand. Soften the hearts of the children, Lord Jesus, and turn them back to the parents. And turn the hearts of the parents back to the children, oh God. Thank you that you have our children's future in your hands. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I need you, Lord.